Good morning, everybody. My name is Nicole Irizarry. I've been a physical therapist for 15 years, working in pediatrics and adults. I think I have the best job in the world. I worked at USC, University of Southern California, in Los Angeles for 6 years on the CF team. And welcome. I'm excited to be with you this morning or this afternoon, depending on where you are. All right, so today we're going to be talking about hands-on techniques for back pain. And what I want to say first and foremost is that this has really come from my participants, from you guys. I feel like over the years, what I've really learned is that people want the meat in the, like, they want the meat. They don't necessarily want the potatoes. And if you're vegan or vegetarian, no offense, you guys, people want the high nutritious information. What can I do at home? So I really tried to do that this time. I really tried to make it so that you can practice and try these things. I also have a board specialty in cardiovascular and pulmonary physical therapy. So this is an area of passion for me. Just some housekeeping things. Please mute your microphone if you're not talking. You can use the chat feature. If there's something though that's wrong while we're working together and you're like, hey, just interrupt me, that's absolutely fine. But if there's something that you want to ask, go ahead and throw it into the chat feature. Remember that this is not HIPAA protected. So if you want to share something about yourself, you are more than welcome to, but just keep certain privacy things in mind as you share. And if you want me to stop the recording for whatever reason, because you feel comfortable sharing it in the group, but this is going to be saved and shared later on. So just let me know. And Siri already thanked our sponsors. You might see some things in here that say endurance PT, because that's a little business that I have. It's just me, but in case you see that, it's me. And let's see. All right. So here's the disclosure stuff. This presentation is not treatment, but education, and for demonstration purposes only. This information should not be used to self-diagnose. Please don't use this information to avoid seeing your physician or healthcare provider. And then there's a lovely little legal statement at the bottom that just says you won't hold me accountable if something happens. It's just a legal thing. We have to do it, right? Like, it's just the world that we live in, unfortunately. Okay. So what are we going to go over today? We're going to talk about the locations of back pain. We're going to talk about the neck, the mid back, and the lower back. We're going to appreciate the anatomy. It all goes back to the anatomy. So if I can show you some pictures that talks about the muscles, the ligaments, the bones, the nerves, it might help you understand what's going on in your back a little bit more. And then really, what are some things you can do at home? I tried to pull in things that I feel like are very valuable, and then a few items that are kind of hot topic items right now. And then really there's an emphasis, like I mentioned, on trying and talking. So the purpose is for me to show you the video of me doing the exercise or the stretch, the movement, and giving you 1 to 2 minutes to get down and practice these things. That way you can come back and talk to me, and we can share in a group. So I will be stopping the recording at that time. I would like you to consider keeping your cameras on, because one of the benefits would be is that I could say, not necessarily to you individually, but if you are doing this, try taking a slower, deeper breath. Try telling your shoulders to pull down. Things like those verbal cues, which I think are really important. And then I'm also going to mention some times of when it's important to see a healthcare provider. I recognize that we are still in a pandemic and that maybe people are tired of going to the doctor, even if we weren't in a pandemic, but there are some times when you really should go. All right. I'm going to check my notes to make sure that I'm covering everything. Oh, I'm not going to talk as if everybody's on modulators, because we know that not everybody is. So this is gonna be more of a general thing. I used to say, like, if you're coughing a lot, and then participants would tell me, we're not coughing that much anymore, which is exciting. But we know that there are people who are still coughing and who can't take the, can't be on modulator therapy. All right, so I'm going to read this slide to you. So low back pain in the general population, it's one of the top reasons people seek medical attention. It causes disability and affects quality of life, which I'm sure if you're here, you know that. It can be caused from repetitive movements. It can be caused from all of these pictures over to my right. So we see non-mechanical disease processes. So you can see that it says kidney stones, right? That can cause back pain, heavy lifting. Sometimes people are used to doing a lot of lifting, and then one day there's that straw that breaks the camel's back, and that's what gives you back pain. There could be trauma, poor sitting posture, frequent forward bending. I feel like these two pictures on the bottom left are really us these days, right? We're on our phones, maybe we're working from home. We have a lot of devices. And then other things, arthritis. There's degenerative conditions that can come into play. I would like to kind of say, or put a little asterisk next to that and say, if you were to have x-rays or an MRI, we know as physical therapists that your MRI or x-rays doesn't always define you. So sometimes it's protocol for those to be ordered, but I can have a terrible MRI, but maybe I feel great. And there are those people. So if you have imaging that is making you worry, try not to worry, because there is hope. So that's our low back area. So the mid back, and this is more for people who have CF. There's postural changes that is looked at heavily, right? Because of the changes that can happen, maybe if you're on steroids often. There's people that have a lot of coughing. And so what does that do to our rib attachment, which we're going to bring in the next couple slides? And then also a lot of people talk about chest wall pain, and that I'm going to show as well. If you've taken a class with me previously, some of these things may be a little bit familiar. So neck pain, it's common. Posture is involved. There's repetitive movements also, depending on what you do at home or what your job is like. Unfortunately, neck pain can cause headaches. So sometimes people will be able to say, I know this is from my neck, this headache that I'm having. And then sleep positions affect you as well. So I'm going to check my notes really quick. Going back really quickly to the mid back, there is like that kyphotic posture or that hump back. Let me kind of move my screen a little bit, that some people get when they're like this. That can also be from steroids. It can also be from poor posture over time and your genetics. And I'm making a yucky face because once you are there, I haven't seen it ever go back, right? So once you get there, all you can really do is prevent it from getting worse, which is really hard news for some people to hear. Okay, so the point is, it's all connected. If you have a neck problem, chances are your middle back doesn't feel great either. And then if you have a low back problem, something further up the chain, as we like to say, is typically also involved, okay? So if you're noticing that, you're right. So now we're gonna talk a little bit about the anatomy, which I think is really cool. Surprise, surprise, a physical therapist who thinks muscles are cool. But what I want you to see here in this picture is that there's so many stinking muscles. There's so many, and they all cross each other and connect at different places or the same places. This white here is fascia. There's muscles in between the ribs. So this is just a general picture. I'm going to keep bringing it back up. So the muscles of the neck. So here we have muscles that attach to the back of the skull and come down and attach to our vertebra here. They attach to our clavicle, our shoulders. And what I think people aren't used to seeing are these deep little muscles in here. And I recognize this isn't the best picture, but I liked at least how it highlighted these little muscles here. And if you're always in this forward position, maybe on your phone, I don't know why I'm saying you, because I do it too. Maybe when we're in this forward position or when we're driving in a maybe angry manner, those muscles can get tight. And when those get tight, then you have a lot of upper neck stiffness and problems and headaches. So now we're going to jump down below to the front of the body, and you have the thoracic muscles. So what I wanted, I'm showing you the front here because I want you to appreciate that is this area here, this bone is attaching the pec muscles, which attach basically to the shoulder and then the ribs. So therefore you can get a rounded posture if that gets tight. You can get tingling down your arms, which is really frustrating, okay? But there are stretches that can make that much better. So you can appreciate these beautiful muscles here called the serratus anterior, which attaches to the ribs. And then if we go to the back, I'm jumping a little too far ahead. You can see the intercostal muscles here, which are really awesome, really important for inspiration or taking breaths. In the back, or the back view of this thoracic area, you can see this giant trapezius muscle that starts at the base of the neck and goes all the way down to your thoracic spine. So if you hold stress in your shoulders, chances are it's moving to your lower back. I also have a picture, I wanted the scapula on this picture because I want you to see that there's muscles that attach up to the neck and go down to the scapula. And then in between here, this is an area commonplace for tightness. So if you have a problem with your neck, sometimes you get pain that is here when really you need to get this whole area moving. And so if we go deeper, you can see up here, it says superficial and deep. And that's really how the anatomy is talked about. So you have the muscles that maybe I could put my hands on, and then deep to that when we, in it for imaging purposes or display purposes is the better word. If we were to take some of those muscles away, these are the deeper muscles down here that go directly along your spine. I realize that this isn't lined up. Maybe if I would have thought about that, it would have been lined up a little better. But at least you can appreciate all these little tiny muscles. And what's frustrating about back pain or any area that you have some pain is that those muscles guard, meaning they get tense and tight. It's part of our body's natural response for protection. It's not necessarily great because it doesn't make us feel better, but the muscles are essentially stabilizing that area depending on what's going on. So when we look a little bit deeper at the thoracic spine, I have a star located at that spinal level. So here, because I want you just to appreciate that the ribs come and attach to those spinous processes, okay, or to the vertebra. So what's important here is that if you did have a lot of coughing at one point in your life, don't be surprised and don't be hard on yourself if you do have a lot of stiffness in this area. Taking care of your back is really something you need to do on a weekly basis. I do it. I think it's important for all of us, okay? And it will truly make you feel better. So you can see from the side angle, we have the cervical spine or the neck, the thoracic spine, which is our mid back, is how I'm referring to it today, and then our lumbar spine or our lower back, okay? And it's all connected. So if this area moves, there's movement within the chain below. I'm not going over the sacral area today, just so you know, but it is the lower portion or lowest portion of our spine. Okay, so now we're back to looking at the front of the chest, and this is where these nerves lie. So if these muscles get tight, they can put pressure or compress these nerves, giving you sensations of electrical feelings, your hands going numb, and sometimes people describe like this zap that goes down. But look at these nerves that come underneath your ribs. So if you've ever experienced rib pain, if you've had a chest tube, that's why it hurts, because these nerves run right here. And so there are people that get sternal incisions for surgery, hopefully not any of you, but like I worked with cardiac patients, so heart patients. And so this would be cut, and that was less painful to people because look at where the nerves lie than when they had chest tubes. Okay, so it hurts. All right. Again, not my favorite pictures. I swear there used to be better pictures available. And now because of copyrights and whatnot, those aren't as available anymore. But you get the idea that these muscles connect and cross over. We have these deep muscles in the back, all of these muscles. And this, well, this here, I want to highlight right here because it's our quadratus lumborum. Look at how they attach to our lowest rib. Look at how it attaches to our spine and then attaches to our pelvis. So it's all connected. Anatomy lesson over. So I am very used to you putting in a lot of articles because that's what we do in the medical community. If we don't back it up, it's just us talking, but I'm presenting to real people today. Not that the rest of us aren't real people in the medical world, but I want you to take something home and be able to work on things and not me spend a lot of time on articles, okay? So this is a plumb line. This is how posture is assessed. This line going straight down helps us determine if something is too far forwards or too far back behind the line. You don't have to worry about that right now, but at least you know this is how posture is assessed in people, okay? And the thing that I want to highlight is that the positions that we put our bodies in affect the way that muscles activate. If I'm always like this, for whatever reason, maybe I'm a gamer, right? If I'm always like this, those muscles are going to adapt. Some are going to get long, some are going to get short, and they're going to hurt because they're not in the optimal position, okay? So our human body is adaptable, which is good because then we can make changes. So how do we reduce back pain? General structure. You're going to hear us, as in the physical therapy world, push heat and ice. They are the least expensive and very effective things that you can do at home. So I'm going to talk a little bit about ice versus heat. I'm going to go over the devices that you can look into purchasing. We're going to talk about stretching and movements. I'm not necessarily going to go over strengthening today, but it's an important piece of the puzzle. Look at all this stuff, right? So devices, or that's just what I called it. I didn't really know what other way to name it. So there's pillows on the market for your neck, your low back. There's TENS units, which help reduce pain by tricking the nerves into thinking where it blocks the pain. It doesn't fix the problem. Creams are good. You know, the creams that are minty and help the muscle relax. Does that fix the problem? No. Does it make you feel better? Yes. Then use it. There's percussion devices, which I have pictures of, which is like the massage gun, which is a weird name. But I do go over that. Foam rollers, you see them in physical therapy offices. I love them. They're great. I will be going over that today. Towel rolls. You can use towel rolls in replacement of pillows. You can also use them in replacement of foam rollers in a pinch. The physio balls or the exercise balls, the big ones that you can sit on, aren't my favorite for back pain, but they are marketed that way. Tennis balls or racket balls. You can use them on your back to help loosen up some areas of stiffness. And then there's my favorite, the hot rice pillow. My favorite is, that is my favorite because you can put it in the microwave and it delivers a moist heat. We know that moist heat improves relaxation of the muscles that are guarding, Okay. So that's why I like those much more than a heating pad. Sometimes people say, I don't get relief with a heating pad, but I use it because I've been told it's going to help me. I would really urge you to switch. And then I'm going to talk about ice, completely opposite, right? Some people are like, I would never want to use ice. That would make my muscles get tight and guard up anyways. The difference is when you have new back pain, you got to get the inflammation down. Even if I have back pain that has popped its ugly head back up, I'll start with using ice to calm it down and then move to heat. So if when in doubt, start with ice and then move to heat, okay? So what are some of these products? What do they look like? So you can see this pillow. Now, this is a disclaimer. I don't necessarily think you need to purchase any of these items. And you can tell where I pulled these items from. And I did that because it's accessible to everybody. It's not necessarily me saying support this entity, okay? So for the neck, there are all these different pillows that exist. And unfortunately, you're gonna have to try them out. You're gonna have to see what works best for you. Because if you are that person whose head is a little bit forward, you might need more neck support than somebody else. So this part of the pillow, or in this small graphic down here, what supports your neck should really fit into the curve of your spine. You don't want it to push you forward, and you don't want to feel like you're hanging. So it's sort of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, okay? And I remember when I was in PT school, our spine professor talked about getting like the down pillows and really kind of fitting it to your neck, because then you can adjust it. You can also do a towel roll. I think whatever is going to help you feel relaxed, that's one of the most important things. And this I learned from you guys last time to show this wedge pillow does exist, especially if you have any shortness of breath, because we know laying flat is not comfortable, but yet you don't want to be all lumpy and bumpy as you're sleeping. So here you can see this person's elevated, and you can also put a towel roll underneath the neck to help with any neck discomfort. All right, so percussion devices. This is an example, the Theragun. So I went and checked this item out. These are so expensive. The top of the line is $600 for this brand. The lower end, which is like this handheld one over here, is like $200. I don't love them. Well, that's not, I don't love them for back pain. Because one, you have to have another person holding it for you, unless it's up here, right? Unless it's in your upper trap. But even then, they're not marketed for back pain. They're really marketed for you to use on big muscle groups after exercise. So if you've been wondering about them, I would say, don't think that you need to go purchase anything like this. There are different styles on the market, but they're not my favorite for back pain. But I wouldn't mind having one on my calf after it got tight from a hike or something, okay? So they do hold value, but you don't need to think about it for back pain, in my humble opinion. Okay, so foam rollers, one of my favorite things. You can see the price is pretty affordable, $11. You wanna make sure that you don't purchase a half. The halves are better for stretching your calf, maybe for exercises that we might give you in a clinic, but the full foam roller is going to be better. I have, I have an 18 inch because I live in a small apartment, don't have a lot of space. But then there's the 24 inch and the 36 inch as well. And then you can see that it supports up to 300 pounds. You can use it on your legs. Your back is my favorite, which I'm going to show in the video. And I think one thing to know is that there's different densities. So you can see here on the blue one, you can compress a lot more. So if you have some sensitivities that you know you're not going to do well with a much firmer foam roller, go with something that you know is going to be a little bit compressible. Okay, so the two, there's a couple different densities that exist. So I just have the picture of the spine muscles up again, because tennis balls are a great way to give yourself massage. My preference is for against the wall, like this person is doing. You can lean up against the wall and control your pressure and then roll up and down, get some little circles in there. That's my favorite. You can use it in laying down, that's fine. But when you're trying this for the first time, just be careful. More is not more. You don't want to go crazy and then be sore, really sore, for 3 or 4 days thinking, man, I wish I would have done it a little bit lighter. Okay, so start out gentle, maybe try a minute, walk around, see how you feel, okay? The racquetballs are much more firm. So if you need deeper pressure, you can go with a racquetball. I couldn't find a picture of this. Old school, we used to take two of the balls, stick it in a tube sock, tie the end, lean against the wall, and go up and down on either side of your back. So that's another great thing as well. You can also use this in your glutes. If you know you have a tight piriformis, you know you have tight glutes, but again, you got to be careful, because deep to that piriformis is a big giant nerve that you don't want to make angry. So kind of sticking with this theme of, can I give myself a massage at home? With massage, the goal is muscle relaxation and relief. You want to feel better. I think it is tough to reproduce getting an actual massage, but we're in a pandemic. Not everybody likes to be touched. So my go-to is the foam roller, which I'll show you, me using it on my back, the tennis ball, starting or ending with heat or ice. I put heat because here I think our goal is muscle relaxation. I think a hot bath after all of this can really help you relax, okay? My preference is not for a hot shower, because I feel like you need to soak and you need to rest. Excuse me. So is there a recipe? I feel like this is what works the best for the people that I treat and for myself. I'm a back patient I didn't like it when I heard this for the first time, but once a back patient, always a back patient. I was so bummed out when I heard that. I hurt myself at work when I was working in the hospital and was out for 3 months. It hurt to brush my teeth. So if you can relate to that, I feel you. So when I have a flare up, I make sure I'm walking. You gotta keep moving. I do some yoga, which I include at the end. There's specific stretches that I know work for me, and then I use heat and ice. That's how I recommend it. If you're on pain meds, that's completely directed by your physician, okay? But if you're here, I'm hoping it's because you don't want to use those. And of course, there are other things, craniosacral therapy, acupuncture, other things that exist, but I just don't speak to. Feel free to still ask questions. I'm going to move on to stretches and movements. Ooh, yes, someone gave me an excellent question. Do you recommend Epsom salt in the bath to help muscle relief? Yes, and the reason I didn't say that is because I forgot. Like, I like them, I use them. If you're a runner, you know that they help you. If you're an athlete, even if you're not, I just didn't do it till late in life, right? Like, so yes, they absolutely can help you. Well, anything else, feel free to shoot them out. Stretches and movements that can be helpful are coming up next. Okay, tips and tricks. This is the meat. Here we go. Relaxation and deep breaths are key. I try to give you stretches so that you are in the most relaxed position possible. We know that you can stretch your calf without holding on to anything, but if you're stabilized and you can push, you're going to get a much better stretch. So that's the goal when I'm giving stretches, okay? Hold time is key. If you aren't holding a stretch for 60 seconds total, it doesn't really make a difference in the muscle properties. So you need to stretch and hold it. If you can't tolerate holding it for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever, just build. So you might do one stretch for 20 seconds four times. That's absolutely fine. Okay. Do what you can. And this is why I'm such a big pusher of yoga, because you see your body change, and it's mostly because you're holding these positions for an extended period of time. You'll hear me say a phrase that I learned: your pain. Your back pain, you know it. I know my back pain. If anything reproduces your pain, don't do it. Back off if you feel like you're going too deep, and reassess. Is this going to work for me if I do it a little bit easier? Or do I just need to skip it? You got to do these stretches at least 2 to 4 times a week, or stretch 2 to 4 times a week. 2 is probably not enough, but at least I'm trying to say it's got to be often. It really needs to be at least 3 times a week, and there's plenty of research that says it needs to be more often. I promote this person, Adrian, Yoga with Adrian. She's free on YouTube. She's wonderful. I use her for all different types of things. I use her for treatments with kids. I use her when I'm feeling anxious. She's got 10-minute videos. She's got an hour video. She's got all kinds of things. I have a couple at the end that you can use if you're interested. And then have a routine that works for you. That recipe that I talked about, you need to practice it. I know it's kind of like, can you just fix it? I wish I could, but even in the clinic, we'd be going through a recipe. And then meet with a healthcare professional. Meet with your doctor. Tell them, you know, I learned these stretches, or I want to try this. Do you have any opinion? And maybe you don't have the time in your life to get connected with a physical therapist and going weekly. I think that's okay. We understand that. So if you can only go for 3 to 4 sessions and then you have a recipe that works for you, great. Okay. So now we're going to get into it. And if you want, you can turn your camera off, because now I'm going to ask you to do some exercises or movements with me. The first portion is for your neck. So you can either stand or you can sit. And I'm going to set my timer on my phone so that it's 60 seconds, because I want you to feel how long that is, because it is so important. And so I'm going to set that. I didn't do that ahead of time. And I'm going to set my time for that. So I'm going to go ahead and leave the recording on, because I'm going to demonstrate the movements, whereas the other times there's going to be a video. So I'm going to bring my right ear to my right shoulder, and I'm going to hold this position, and I'm going to press start, and I'm going to hang out here. I'm telling myself to take slow, deep breaths. Emphasis on slow. You may have more range of motion than other people, and that's okay. And you may have less range of motion than other people, and that's okay too. I'm going to drive my shoulders down. That's going to intensify the stretch, okay? If you're saying, I don't feel it, I want more, that's fine. You can reach your hand up and gently give yourself a little more. You don't have to push. Take some nice deep breaths. We've got 10 to 15 more seconds. 60 seconds is a long time, okay? And I'm changing my voice on purpose, because I want you to be relaxed. All right, so now we're gonna gently bring our head back to the center, and we're gonna go the other direction. You may notice that you don't have the same mobility in this side that you did on the other side, and that's okay. I know that my shoulder on the right gets tighter because I'm right-handed. So I'm going to drive my right shoulder down, take nice, slow, deep breaths. What I found clinically that works best for people is if you take 3 to 4 deep breaths, nice and slow, you're going to hit 60 seconds. Okay. So if you don't want to watch a clock, that's okay. Typically, you're going to hit 60 seconds. It depends on how deep of a breath you can take and how long your exhale is. All right. So we've still got 15 seconds. We're stretching out the muscles on the side of the neck that attaches to the clavicle and the shoulder. So if that's what you feel, perfect. All right. So hang in there. If this gives you any feelings of anxiousness, you're not alone. Bring your head slowly back to the center. And that's where the deep breaths are really important. So that's one of my favorite stretches. I will do it while I'm sitting at my desk at work. Okay. So the next stretch is we're going to do, it's sort of like looking at your armpit. Not sort of, it is. You're going to look at your armpit and you're going to bring your hand up to the top of your head to give you a little extra stretch. So you're getting a muscle stretch. I'm going to stop doing it in 10 seconds. You guys keep going. So work on those slow, deep breaths. Keep going. I'm going to watch you. Look at that armpit. If the hand on top of your head is too much, that's absolutely okay. You don't have to do it. You're getting a nice stretch from the base of your skull to your shoulder blade. Okay. So hang in there. I didn't set the timer this time, so I'm going to guess. And go ahead and come back up to center. You can see this young man is, I'm going to describe it, is tucking his chin down first, and then I'm telling my ears to go back. I'm essentially giving myself a beautiful double chin, okay? So from the side, go ahead, tell your shoulders to relax. Look down maybe half an inch. It's such a small movement, you guys, and this is why I don't like to do this, because it's so specific. And glide your ears straight back. Okay, I'm going to do it without talking. Try 2 more. So what that is doing is that is giving some relief to the little tiny muscles in the back of your neck. Now, if that doesn't feel good to you, don't do it. It's a very specific exercise, but most people ask about it, which is why I'm bringing it up today, okay? So for the chin tuck exercise, if that's something that you want to work on, I would really recommend that you only do like 5 to 10 a day, and then you don't need to do them for very long. This is not like neck health unless you know that you have a really bad forward head. And if that's the case, maybe go ahead and shoot me an email after. You'll see my email at the end, because I want to make sure that you have some information that's very specific for you. So that doesn't necessarily apply to everybody. All right. For the next portion, I'm going to show you some videos. So I'm going to switch. These are videos that I recorded last weekend. We're going to be focusing on the mid back. And so I'm queuing those up right now and making sure that my sound is off so that you don't have to listen to that. And all right. So for here, go ahead and be ready to get on the floor if you can, because that's going to, I want you to practice these. So if you need to move your device, please take the time to do so. Okay, we're going to go on to hands and knees. Okay. All right, guys. So maybe watch for a second. Cat, cow. I want you to see that I'm going to get in the position. And even though I thought I was going slow, I'm not going as slow as I should have. So just heads up on that. So maybe watch it first. You can see that my hands are directly underneath my shoulders. That is the goal. one of the goals. And then my knees are directly underneath my hips. So you want to be in good alignment. That's really important. So I'm going to play the video and then I want you to try it. Okay. So I'm going to give you plenty of time. So here we go. It's only a 9-second video. Drop my lower back and look down. Or excuse me, look up. I'm looking at my belly button and telling my back to move up. So I'm going to keep playing this while you guys are trying it on your own. So drop your belly and look up towards the sky. Use your eyes. That is really important. Okay. And then you're going to tuck your chin, look at your belly button, and arch your back. The looking up is the cow, and the arching your back and looking down is the angry cat, okay? So you're getting a lot of that flexion extension in your mid-back, okay? So I'm going to give you another second or so to try that while I switch and get ready for the next one. My goal is that you aren't having to get out of that position. So the next one is thread the needle. If you know this, it's a great exercise. So I'm getting back into that same position. Let me just hold on 1 second because I lost my screen. Okay. Some people are doing them because they already know them, and that's awesome. So hands underneath the shoulders in case you needed to take a break. You are going across. You can see in the video that I look at my hand because you get more rotation. You get more bang for your buck. So then you see me totally change it up, go all the way down to the floor and rest my head on the floor. This is where we go from movement to stretching. So take 3 nice, slow, deep breaths. I'm pausing the video. I know this is a little quick. Take your time. So getting nice stretching in between the ribs. You're getting some stretching between the scapula and the spine. And then once you've done those 3 to 4 slow, deep breaths, you're going to come back up, hands under shoulders, and do the other side. So you can see in the video, my shoulders really resting on the ground. My eyes are closed. I'm really trying to take slow, deep breaths. I unfortunately am one of those people that thinks that they're going slow and they really aren't. So if you know what I mean, welcome to the club. So 3 slow, deep breaths, opening up those ribs, getting some relief in your thoracic spine. All right. If you want, go ahead and come into sitting on your bottom so that you are comfortable. And if you have a foam roller, go ahead and get that. If you have a towel roll, go ahead and get that ready. Take your time. I'm watching that you guys are moving around, so I'm not necessarily going to speed through this. I want to give people time to adapt and move. So the foam roller is going to be basically like where your butt is. So I'm going to pull that up and show you that. The video will start, but I'm going to pause it. Okay. So you can see that I'm sitting on my butt and I like to get it kind of in the middle, whatever that means to you, because you're going to feel really quickly what happens. Now, this is the self-massage. So there it's in the middle, and I put my hands behind my back to support my neck, and I roll back and forth. Mind you, I think I'm going slow. I am not. I'm going to pause the video. So I'm going to replay it so you can try it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. So I'm really rolling that rolling pin idea back and forth. Go slow. See what you feel. I only do this like maybe 10 to 15 times and then I stop because it usually doesn't feel too great, but it has a big impact. So what you're going to do next, if you want more, if you're that person that feels like you need a little bit more extension, watch what I do. I'm going to lean back. I'm going to drop my head back. My neck is still supported. I go to the next level and drop my head back. I'm going to show that again because I know it's quick. So dropping my head back, rolling back and forth a second, dropping my head back. So I'm going to pause it. And don't worry, after this, I'm going to stop so we can ask questions. What is a little bit difficult to tell right now is that I am side bending to get in between the shoulder blades. You open that area up and you roll again. So here I'm going to play it. So I'm going to go to the other side, open and roll back and forth. And then I'm done. So I'm going to show the video from its entirety. That way you can see what I was talking about in case that was too fast. I know we're coming up on almost being 10 a.m. Rolling back and forth. Extending my head back, getting some nice extension in my thoracic spine or the mid back. You can see that I reposition my feet often. This may not feel good to a lot of people, and that's okay. You don't have to do this. This is pick and choose what works best for you to create that recipe. Okay, here comes the pec stretch. If you want to do it with the video, you're gonna, after the video, you're gonna stand up and find a wall. So here we go. So I'm getting in a lunge position. I'm going to pause it. I have my arm up to effectively pull on those muscles or stretch, friendlier word. So my arm is back. I'm in a lunge position so I can lean forward, which is what you're going to see next. For my friends who were talking about maybe their neck being really sensitive, maybe watch it first. So I'm leaning forward, I'm focusing on taking slow, deep breaths, which maybe you can't tell, that's okay. I turn my head to increase the stretch. So if I want a little bit more, then I can turn my head away from the wall. So I'm gonna play that again. So you can watch it. I slide my arm above shoulder level. Nice slow breaths. You're going to feel that stretch intensify. Turn my head if I want more. If you're not in the camp that wants more, you can reduce that lunge position. So I do want you to try it on both sides. I'm going to play the video again in case that's helpful because I don't have all of your beautiful faces on the screen at this moment. This one's not always easy for everybody to hold for 1 minute. So if you only want to hold it for 30 seconds, that's fine. If you've been given a doorway stretch in the past where your doors are on the hands, where your hands or arms are resting on a door jamb and you're leaning forward, this is very similar. I just like to be able to do one at a time in case you have one side that's tighter than the other. Okay. That's our pec stretch, and that really is the last stretch that is addressing the mid back. So now we're going to go to low back. So we're going to go back down to the floor if you are ready for that. We're going to start off with the prayer stretch, which is one of my favorite stretches of all times. So my butt is sitting on my feet. That's one way to do it. So my arms are stretched forward. My butt is sitting on my feet and my head is resting on the floor. Now, you can reach forward with your arms if you want to. There's a couple different ways to intensify the stretch. Okay, so I'm going to play the video. Rotate the arms one way. I'm going to, if I'm a clock, I went from 12 to 11 or 10, depending on your range. I'm taking slow, deep breaths. And you'll see me go the other way. Walk my hands over. So I'm going to play it again, just in case you want to try it. So I'm leaning forwards, nice, slow, deep breaths. I start out at 12. I walk my hands over to 10 or 11. Nice, slow, deep breaths. This is where I honestly would take three deep breaths, because this is where you're going to open up that the rib cage more. Maybe you're going to get some more secretions come up. Okay. And then you would walk it over to the other direction. Same thing. Thinking about being at your hands at the 2 o'clock. Okay. So I'm checking my list. And the next one is the Texas T. So you're going to lay on your back, take your time getting there. You don't have to move quickly. So you start with your arms out, knees bent. And I'm going to rotate my knees to one direction. And then my head goes the opposite. Sonia, you can see this okay? Okay.
We can see perfectly.
So nice, slow, deep breaths here. I come to the middle, I reset, and I go the opposite direction. Nice, slow, deep breaths. So this is a little bit more of the mid back, but it depends on where you're tight. So you can't necessarily separate one without and not get the other, you know, how I was mentioning earlier. So sometimes you might have Rice Krispies going on in your back as you move, even though I'm saying this is for your low back, you may feel it in your thoracic or mid back, that's fine. Okay. So when you're ready, go ahead and come back up into sitting. The next stretch I'm going to show, I want you to watch the video first in case you've been working with me, because this stretch can be really intense. We're gonna target the piriformis for a second, which is that muscle in your butt that can cause a lot of problems and can send zingers down your leg. If you don't know this stretch, welcome to the party. I like to use the wall because I think you need to relax into this stretch. So Julie, you can see this one, right? Okay, cool. Okay, thank you. Maybe I'll stop asking now. So you can see what I did is I took my shoe off. Don't mark up your beautiful walls. Scoot towards the wall so that you're almost at a 90 degree angle, which you can see in the side. That has the sock. I'm stretching the opposite side. I'm stretching the side with the shoe. So I'm gonna start the video over really quick. If you're in the position, hang out there. Nice, slow, deep breaths. Take advantage of this time that you've given yourself to give your back some love. I do apply pressure on the top of my knee. I am focusing on slow, deep breaths. I do close my eyes. If you can't handle 1 minute, that's okay. You don't have to apply that pressure to your knee. You can scoot back a little bit to make it more comfortable. What I do now in the video is I make it more intense. If this is not your cup of tea, stay away from it. I pull the knee with the sock towards my body. That intensifies the stretch, okay? I'm gonna play the video again from its entirety. You guys switch legs. And if you're not in a place where you can use the wall, that's okay. At least you'll know that this is, in my opinion, one of the better ways to stretch your piriformis. And then I'm gonna share my screen with you and show you a stretch that I don't have a video of. If you can hear the helicopter in the background, that's because I live right next to a hospital that I don't work at, which would be so nice because I could walk there. Okay, enough about me. So in this, you don't have to practice it right this minute, but if you can sit somewhat in this position, you can also try it in standing. I'm gonna reach up with one hand and then I'm gonna reach down with the other. If you're sitting on the floor, you can stabilize yourself with that hand like this person is doing. And then I'm gonna lean away. Watch what I do with this shoulder. I'm gonna drive it back down. So the motion is coming from my rib cage and my spine. And I'm gonna take two slow, deep breaths. We're gonna come back up to center. We're gonna reach with the other side. We're gonna lean away. You can put your other hand down to stabilize yourself if you're sitting. I'm gonna drive my scapula back down. And then I'm gonna take two slow, deep breaths for today's purposes. Okay, so we are done with the movement component of today. I'm gonna show you a couple more things, so go ahead and get comfortable. Things to watch out for. And I didn't include maybe some weakness, like some of our friends were saying that they had. If you, I didn't have the recording on. Some people were describing that their neck felt very weak and they had to assist their head back up. That's gonna be something I want you to reach out to your team about, or even to me later on, because maybe we need to get you connected with the right person. Okay, I don't want it to be like a blanket statement for everybody. These should work for you. Things to watch out for: tingling and numbness that increases, muscle weakness, I guess I do have it here, incontinence, which nobody wants to talk about, but is a real thing, right? If you're coughing and leaking urine or feces, like, I recognize that is not fun in any way, shape, or form, and it is something that we'll talk about in future sessions. But we want to make sure that incontinence is not coming from a slipped disc in your back, okay? So if that's new for you, get it checked out. And if this pain's not going away, let's address it. Maybe there's a certain recipe that we need to help you get connected with the right people. And then if that pain worsens with coughing or sneezing, that can be indicative that a disc, if depending on what's going on with the pain, that can be indicative that you have a problem with a disc. I know you may not want to hear that, but remember, your back pain doesn't define you. We can make it better. For the people who need or want a video they can follow, I use this video weekly. I love it. It's 10 minutes. And she goes through a series of movements to really improve your neck pain. When I have a headache that I know is related to my neck, this is my go-to. I might mute her and put on some soft music because I've listened to it a number of times. So that's always an option. I have a note here for myself that says, be careful with head down. Because if you have reflux, even if you're on a modulator and you're not 100% sure if you have reflux, if your head is down, you can get some silent aspiration. That movement is, this is your stomach, this is your head going into your lungs. We don't want that. Okay, And then this is the other one that I really like. These are quick, less than 20 minutes, because I recognize we're all pressed for time. So this is yoga for lower back pain. It's the same person. It's on YouTube. You just type this into the search category and it will pop up. She does have other videos. There are some that are 36 minutes and longer. So you may just need to try what works for you. All right. That being said, I just want to pay quick respects to, today is September 11th, and just take a quick, I didn't want to not acknowledge it. I don't think it's fair. My dad would never forgive me. My dad was a New Yorker, so, and I went to PT school in New York, and we know that there were plenty of people affected around the globe. So just a quick minute to hold them in our hearts. And there's my email at the bottom. Feel free to write it down, screenshot it, shoot me an email, even if it's, can you help me get connected with the PT in Toronto? I probably can't.